Hi, everybody. Kurt Schlichter here for Unredacted Town Hall VIP Podcast. I'm joined by my father-in-law, Mundy Alvarez. And we are coming back from guest hosting the Hugh Hewitt Show.
That was interesting.
You like that? You thought it was interesting? Was it what you expected?
No, it was completely different.
Why? How is it different? How is a radio? How is the sausage made, as you put it?
That's right. The technology involved, how everybody comes together from different parts of the country to collaborate with the show. It's just really interesting and different.
Yeah, it was good. And now we're coming back, and it's raining at the moment. We are about to have a giant flood here in Orange County, which is more like Gunmetal Gray County today. But I thought it was good. But you know, Mooney, there's some I want to. I'm writing about Monday at Town Hall, which is when you'll hear this. I wrote, "Hey, can you feel the vibe shift? You know, 6 months ago everything was going great with the Trump administration. Then about 6 weeks ago, a month ago, it was kind of like their mistakes and the economy. Yeah, economy seems bad, right? And now I'm thinking with the GDP at 4.3, with the inflation down to 2.3, I'm thinking we're kind of turning a corner. But you're a normal person.
And most important of all, gasoline prices. I just paid $2.02 in Costco in the Houston area. $2.02. That has to impact everybody and all products. Because everything needs to be transferred.
Well, of course, my problem is I'm in California. I am paying, how much am I paying? I'm paying about $5.50 a gallon. Isn't that crazy?
It is crazy. And you keep losing refineries like Valero. They live in the state. And I know what you guys going to do. Where are you going to get your gas from?
Well, California has special gas blends, you know, for climate change and smog and stuff.
But that's what started this whole problem, because the state wanted to control what the refineries did, when they did it, how they did it, and how much supply to keep. So they said to the governor, you know what? We had enough of this. We're leaving.
Yeah, Valero said it's going to cost us $1 billion. And they said, you know, to fix up the facility, they're going to pay that for the chemical contamination, but they're going to leave. They're going to leave California, and we're going to be down, and there's another refinery shutting too. They say prices could get $8, $10 a gallon.
And that would affect every cost of every product that we could
sell. That's absolutely true. And the rest of the country, because vehicles that are carrying stuff from the ports, you know, they're going to have to buy gas in California. That's craziness to me.
But you know what? It's not only the vehicles, but the Valero facility did a lot of the jet fuels.
Oh, really?
Oh, yes. So it's not only gasoline, it's also jet fuel.
Well, that's not good.
No, it is not good.
I think California is having a suicide pact, and I think it wants everybody else to come along with it.
Well, I think that California sees it that way. They're trying to play dice now after years of pissing everybody off with the gasoline, all the restrictions that they're placing on.
Well, I think Gavin Newsom's going to have a real problem if he says, I want to do to America what I did to California, and our gas is $8 a gallon. I mean, that's going to be a J.D. Vance ad right there.
And the homeless.
Oh, and the homeless. But, you know, of course, it's rainy and gross right now. But normally, people got to understand, California is a nice place to live if you live in a nice place. You know, where I live is a nice place, right?
Yeah.
You go about 5 miles east, hell, you go 3 miles east, not so nice. I mean, that's true kind of anywhere, but not so much in Texas. There are large areas of normal people living normal lives. But there are some bad areas in Houston.
Yes, yeah.
I just don't go there, you know? But in California, it's the, oh, look, there's a Hooters, and it's closed. Here's how bad the economy is. It can't support a Hooters.
Okay, so let's talk about today. I was in a hotel having breakfast, right?
Uh-huh.
And guess what? Two homeless people came to have breakfast with the rest of us.
Oh, yeah? Did they throw them out?
Me, you know, I don't. If they need it, fine, but that's how bad things are here. I noticed that. So.
That's two homeless. Now, you're a little ways away from the borderland for the town I live in. Cops won't let homeless guys in my town.
They won't?
Not in the residential area. Cops will arrest them. Remember, you know, the liberal wine ladies who are like, oh, the homeless are wondering. No, not in our neighborhood. Stay the hell out.
Well, it's, you know, in the Houston area, they try to control it.
You don't see as many bums in Houston.
No, you don't.
They're not living under the overpasses.
They did at one point, but...
They cleaned them out.
Yep. They provide facilities. They try to provide facilities. And they just go out in the woods because they don't want to have to deal with authority.
Well, you know, a lot of the homeless are criminals and need to be in jail. A lot are drug addicts. They need to be in rehab. And a lot are nuts. And they need to be in a mental institution. I don't think you're doing a favor to a homeless person, letting him live out in the elements in his own filth while he fights imaginary dragons. You know? I don't think that's kindness.
No, just like it's not kindness. Letting people come to this country through the frontiers and let them be exposed to all the negative things that happen.
Exploitation. Did you see the Democrats are like, well, we aren't going to have anybody to pick our crops for us. Doesn't that sound a little like slavery?
Exactly true does.
You know, is cotton one of those crops? I mean, it's just gross. Now, you came here legally.
Yep.
Your whole family came here legally.
Yes.
And then you joined the Army.
Yeah.
And your son joined the Army.
Yes.
And your daughter sent her husband away to the Army.
Yes.
So, does it annoy you when you hear people talk about, well, I'm a heritage American, my cousins, my family's been here 300 years, I'm special. Does that annoy you?
Yes.
It annoys me, too. And I wonder where I fit in, because I've had ancestors who were here before the Revolutionary War and fought in it, and I have ancestors who came here. My mom's parents were immigrants. And, of course, I married into an immigrant family. So what am I, Mundi?
I don't know, Kurt.
What am I?
You have the odd man.
Well, I don't think I'm odd at all. I think I'm normal, but that's what ticks me off about this heritage American thing, which is, okay, I get if somebody comes here, Ilhan Omar, and starts running down the country and saying how it should run.
And marry your brother.
And marry your brother. And your family's been here 300 years and fought for the country. And you're like, I don't need somebody presuming to come in and tell me anything. I get that because it's rude to do that. But I don't think you're any better because of what your ancestors did. For me, you know, there were Schlichters before Revolutionary War in Pennsylvania. I didn't do that, right?
Yeah.
It's not like Kurt's achievement. It's like say, well, I have, you know, hazel eyes, I'm special. No, it just means I have hazel eyes. It's a fun fact.
You know, there's so many immigrants that come to this country that are patriots.
Yes.
They love this country more than just like if you were born here, because they realize what this country has to offer.
Well, you chose to be an American. I didn't choose. I just happened to be born in Cincinnati. But you specifically, and you did an oath, right?
I what?
You swore an oath to the United States.
Yes.
I mean, you did it several times because you were in the Army. But
and the citizenship.
But these are things that you did. So when people are like, well, I'm a heritage American. Stop. Fine. Be proud of your family. It's not like you did anything, but you shouldn't be ashamed of it. But I think it's more of a fun fact. I think when I go and Carmen, your wife, my mother-in-law, makes a rose con pollo, I think it's a fun fact that we're eating Cuban food. But it isn't, it doesn't mean anything as to who any of us are. It doesn't make us more or less anything. I just found that argument kind of dumb. I mean, I get when people say, hey, man, my family's been here 300 years. Don't just show up and then decide to change everything. I get that. You could say that if you're an immigrant, too. I mean, do you want Illinois? You came here as an immigrant. Do you want Illinois to come here and turn us into Somalia?
No way, Jose.
Exactly. So I think people who are trying to, you know, my family's been here. Well, first of all, it's probably just some of your family. Second of all, it's not an achievement. It's not something you earned. So I don't think it gives you any particular rights. I think it's just kind of dumb. Does that make any sense?
It makes sense when you say it, explain it so well, Greg.
Oh, well, thank you. I'm amazing. Just ask me. Yeah, you shouldn't be, I don't think you need to be ashamed of your family coming here 300 years ago. I think that's kind of a cool, fun fact. I think it's also a cool, fun fact that you're like, hey, I escaped a communist dictatorship. I came, I served in the army, I built a life here, and I had a family. I think that's also cool, but that is something you did. It's not something your grandfather did, you know?
And, go ahead.
No,
I was...
They want to hear you. They don't want to hear me.
I was going to change the topic. I came from Texas for warmer weather, and I got rain and cold weather. What is this? What's going on?
It was called rain, and it occurs this time of year on occasion in L.A.
Let's blame it on Trump.
I do blame it on Trump and global warming, and they've angered the weather goddess. The thing is... Here's the funny thing. In California, it does rain during the winter, right? This rain. And you'll notice the Californians know how to drive in it.
Yeah.
Californians, best drivers in the country. So far none. I've been to 48 of 50 states. California, best drivers in the country.
I don't disagree with you.
Texas, terrible drivers. Yeah. Wonderful people. They suck driving. I mean, they are awful.
Well, they need you to move there and teach them how to...
I try to, but I'm afraid they're going to ram their trucks into me. F-150s. But, you know, it freaks me out because I'll go to Texas, and in July, they'll be like, oh, it's going to rain. And I'll be like, why? It's July.
Yes.
It doesn't rain in July. Oh, yes, it does.
Yes, in Texas.
Apparently, it does.
Huge storms.
Yes.
Thundering and lightning.
Yes. Yes. Weather freaks me out. You know, snow freaks me out. Because when I was a little kid, I lived back east. Yeah, we had snow and I made snowmen and everything. But I came to California in 1972 and it snowed one time as a kid for about an hour.
No. My first... weather in Chicago was the worst snowstorm ever, 1967. Still.
Oh, yeah, you were from Cuba.
That's right.
Yeah, talk about not snowing.
I didn't know what to do with that stuff falling down.
How much snow was there?
About 22 inches. It was the worst snowstorm after that time, and it's up to now.
22 inches.
That's right.
In one day?
Well, about maybe 36 hours.
That's a lot of snow.
You can look it up. 1967 snowstorm.
Did it shut down the city?
Yeah, completely. A month after the storm, they would have to have your schools open up late so people could get to work because of the roads. There were so many problems with the roads and the snow. They didn't know where to put the snow. They would dump it in the lake. But on the side street, main street, you couldn't do anything. So it took a while for the city to go.
That's insane.
Yeah. And that was my first experience with a snowstorm.
Wow.
Just interesting.
Wow.
Yeah.
Yeah, we don't have any way. Yeah, it's actually kind of slowing the rain down as we head north out of Orange County into L.A.
Stop raining.
Yeah. Well, on the plus side, I can D in the HOV lane because you're with me. Usually when I come back from Hugh Hugh, and I'm going to do Hugh Hugh at Monday, Wednesday, and Monday, Tuesday, and Wednesday, 29th, 30th, 31st of July, of December, so you can listen to me then. You know, I can't be in the HOV lane except for a part that's toll. And it's like $6 to go 8 miles. It's insane.
That's a lot of money.
It's a lot of money, but I figure it's deductible.
All right. That makes sense.
But
so the weather's pretty good here.
Weather's
this morning you couldn't see a dark thing.
Yeah, well it was
foggy, yeah.
Well, California has occasional weather, but you know, California is typically sunny and nice. This not so sunny, not so nice.
So
what do you think of Trump bombing the Nigerians who are killing Christians?
I wish I knew more about it, but it was a good move. So you're protecting all people all over the world, whether they're Jewish, whether they're Christians, or whether they're Muslims.
I protect the Muslims in Kosovo.
That's what I found out about today. Not thinking about it, because I knew you were in Kosovo, but I forgot why you were in Kosovo.
The Albanian Kosovars, who are 90% Muslim, were being killed in part by their Serbian neighbors. Serbians are Orthodox Christians. You know, I'm against people murdering each other. I'm funny about that. I don't like it. But I don't like, first of all, I don't like ISIS people, and that's kind of what these Nigerian Muslims are, who are murdering them. They're, as somebody pointed out, well, they're also murdering Muslims. Okay, doesn't make it better. That's not a good thing. That's even more reason. I mean, I'm glad they're equal opportunity genocidal freaks, I guess, but that doesn't mean we shouldn't bomb the crap out of them when we can. Do we want to put guys on the ground? I think it's a different discussion, but we can certainly provide them some incentive not to go on murder sprees.
Yeah. You know, it sounds like Pete Hissett and Trump can walk and chew gum on the same time, take care of Nigeria, take care of the Caribbean, take care of the Russians. Everywhere. They're everywhere. It seems they can do many things at one time. Well, during Biden administration, they were unable to do anything.
Well, you got to remember that, you know, Biden was an eggplant. I mean, this guy was obviously senile.
Well, somebody was.
I think you're older than Biden.
I don't know.
You're not senile.
Not yet.
Not yet. We'll give you time. No, but, look, I think Trump's done a lot of things overseas. I hope he can get this Ukraine thing figured out. Although, when everyone's like, well, why hasn't Trump fixed Ukraine? Okay, not exactly our issue. I mean, I'd like to get it fixed for our own benefit, but, you know, it's not our fault.
Yeah, we could also get rare earth.
I'm sorry?
We could get rare earth from Ukraine.
But you can get rare earth here.
The whole idea is about stop the killing of the people.
I would like to stop the killing of people. I don't like it. I also don't like that it endangers the U.S. because people forget Russia's got nuclear weapons.
Yep.
And it's probably not a good idea to be in direct conflict with them. You know? I mean, I don't know who I don't see why that's hard.
Well, I think, I don't know what Putin can do because the economy and everything in Russia seems to be going south. They keep losing oil revenue. Where are they getting the money from? China?
I mean, they're selling oil to, I think, India and China. They're still selling gas to Europe.
Some.
But
I think India's also started to move away from buying Russian oils.
Well, that's good. I made arguments for a living as a lawyer. I don't think it's a great argument to convince opponents when they say, you know, we should support Ukraine more. And if you don't agree with doing it exactly how I want, you love Putin. I don't think that's a great idea. I don't like being called a Russian lover, not because you're revealing a truth, but because A, it's a lie. B, because I was in the damn, you were in the Cold War too.
Yep.
We were both in the Cold War.
Yes, we were.
We opposed the Russians. While a lot of the people giving us crap did not serve, and I don't need to hear from them, frankly. You know?
Do you know, I know that Russian general just died. He had a heart attack the day after he retired.
Oh, yeah?
What a coincidence.
Good for him. And that's, stay away from windows if you're a Russian general. That's all I can say. If Putin doesn't like you, stay away from the windows.
And I wouldn't drive your own car either.
I wouldn't drive. Let somebody else taste my food. Somebody else start my car.
So,
yeah, the idea that just because you don't think the Ukraine war should go on and you think Ukraine should settle on terms does not mean that you like Putin. I don't know I don't know why I have to explain this. Are these people dumb or do they think we're dumb? What do you think?
I don't know.
Could be either.
To me, it's crazy what goes on in the world. I mean, look at all the good things that Trump has done since he became president. There's still people wondering and saying that things are not right. They haven't been better in years. And they still believe different because somebody tells us.
So you agree that the vibe is kind of shifting, that things are starting to feel better?
Oh, yeah, I think you feel better all the time.
Well, your 401k is doing better.
Like I said, I paid $2.02 for gas, so I think.
Are groceries cheaper, or are they not rising the way they were, or what?
Groceries, I consider groceries a little expensive, but they weren't rising prices as they were when Biden was in there.
Well, I'll tell you, beef prices are crazy, and I think part of that has to do with the fact there's only four major processors, and that's crazy. You know, Arena and I got a beef tenderloin, right? 5 pounds, $150.
So,
it was a lot of money. It was great, though, right? We thought, you know, you guys are coming to town. Let's go nuts.
That's one of the reasons.
But that's expensive.
Don't want to bring beef from Argentina. To try to lower the prices here.
Well, look, if the American, I think we need more big processors because the big processors are doing a lot of things that are obnoxious. And I think, I had a farmer tell me that, a rancher, because I bought some meat off him, you know, at a farmer's market. He was like, you don't understand about these processors. They're really screwing over the consumers to raise prices.
But the challenge has been, prices went up. Trump can reduce the prices in 10 months just because he's there. It got to be a process in place. Just like he reduced the prices of eggs, he eliminated that problem by buying eggs all over the world until our producers were able to get back to, after the chicken illness, they were able to recoup
their compete, yeah.
Or whatever you call it. Chicken, that not hurts.
Flocks.
Yeah, the flock.
I think it's a flock.
Yeah.
I'm not like a farmer, but I think it's a flock.
Flock.
Well, look, I think things are getting better. I think we have 9 months until the midterms. And I think within 6 months, people are going to start feeling, you know, things are getting pretty good. And remember under Reagan, right, took a little longer because he got his big tax bill passed later than the Big Beautiful Bill. Big Beautiful Bill got passed early.
Well, I think...
And it has time to work.
Yeah, well, yeah. And all the foreign investment is going to help a lot in the United States.
The thing is, America was always this big powerhouse. And I think for a lot of years, like 80 since World War II, we didn't use anywhere near all our maximum bargaining power and strength because we wanted to help other countries. We wanted to give other countries the chance to rebuild, the chance to get in the game. And 80 years later, you know, we're still acting like half the world needs handout from America. And that isn't so.
Yeah, that's what Trump is changing.
Yeah, he's definitely not going to play that game anymore. And I and it's painful, and there are definitely there's going to be definitely disruptions. Like, you know, they retaliate against our farmers. And then Trump said, well, I'm going to give the farmers some money. I don't, when you are attempting to rebuild an entire system, I don't think it's a bad thing to understand there'll be disruptions and no one sector needs to bear the entire burden of it. So we'll help out that sector, because this isn't just a temporary thing. This is a rethinking of how America is going to relate to the rest of the world. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
So I don't have a problem when, you know, other countries, well, we're just not going to buy your soybeans. All right, we're going to help soybean farmers, because they shouldn't have to bear the full burden of reset. It's not just tariffs. Tariffs are a tool. What we're doing is resetting how trade is conducted so that Americans are on a much more level playing field.
You know what? And I think that is going to work, because Trump has been thinking of this for years.
Yep.
This is not something new for him. He's been studying it since the 80s and 90s.
Yep, he's been talking about it. And look, I understand technically how there can be increases in inflation when you have tariffs. I get it, but I haven't seen inflation going up. I've seen inflation going down. That's objective fact.
That's right.
So maybe stuff has not been, or maybe what they supposed was going to happen isn't going to happen exactly the way they thought. I would prefer free trade for everybody, but that's not how it was. And that's kind of how it needs to be, or else we're going to make it equal, you know?
And the other point about affordability is that people are making more money now. Therefore, they can afford more of the stuff.
That's true. People are making more money.
People are paying less taxes.
I went by one of my favorite little restaurants today in out front, now hiring sign. The other thing is, for American citizens, met too many of them who've been sitting on their ass not working, A, we're going to tighten up on welfare, but B, we've sent 2 million illegal aliens, more of 2.5 million illegal aliens home. I think by the time, by the time it's J.D. Vance's time to be president, I hope it is J.D., but we'll see how that goes. By the time J.D. Vance is president, I think that we are going to see maybe 10 million as we just make it less, you know, we not give welfare to illegal aliens. So I don't think it's crazy. Well, illegal aliens don't get any kind of government assistance. Do their kids go to public schools? Well, yes, but, okay, so you're wrong. I don't know. I do think things are getting better. I think things are feeling better. I think I'm feeling better. And you guys should be feeling better. And the way to feel better is to read me every Monday, Wednesday, and Thursday to go get my new book, Panama Red. Panama Red, the Knife Kelly Turnbull Adventure. You totally want to get it. Follow me at Twitter, at Kurt Schlichter. And, of course, I want to thank all you VIP members for being awesome. Thank you, Mundy, for sitting in as my co-host on today's Unredacted. I appreciate it. Always nice to get someone who's normal instead of a weirdo like me.
Twitter?
Yes. Yes, I call X Twitter. I'm old school. It'll always be Twitter to me. Thanks a lot, everybody. Adios. Bye-bye.